Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads. No fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Even though Suge Knight is behind bars for killing someone in 2015, hearing his name still scares a lot of people. He earned a reputation as the most brutal and violent dude in the rap game and had issues with anyone who tried to cross him. Some people beefed with him and made it out alive, but for others, it was the last mistake they ever made. And today, we're breaking down all the wild drama that made Suge Knight a nightmare for his enemies. Let's get right into it. Suge didn't just beef with dudes one-on-one. He turned the entire rap game into a war zone by sparking issues between the East and West Coast. He started Death Row Records back in 91, and a couple years later, Diddy started Bad Boy Records on the East Coast and signed Biggie Smalls. At first, it was all love between Pac and Big, but all that changed the night Pac was robbed and shot at Quad Studios. Diddy and Big were both allegedly in the studio upstairs while Pac was getting attacked in the lobby, and after it went down, he accused both of them for setting them up to get robbed. Pac got locked up right after it happened, and while he was in jail, Biggie dropped the track Who Shot Ya and said, "Who shot ya? Separate the weak from the obsolete. Hard to creep them Brooklyn streets. It's on all that bickering beef. And I switches all that, sucker, G's up. One false move, get Swiss cheesed up. Clip to tech, respect, I demand it. Slip and break the 11th commandment. Thou should not f with nor see Papa. Spill 1,000 deaths when I drop you." Big always said the track wasn't aimed at Pac, but Pac took it personally and said, "Been talking shit while I was in jail. Even if it ain't about me, you should be like, I'm not putting it out because he might think it's about him." Kirk Burrows is the former president of Bad Boy Records, and he said Diddy wanted Pac and Big to start beefing because it would help sell more records. While Pac was locked up, Suge flew in to sign him, and from that point on, Suge and Pac went for Big and Diddy's throats. Diddy had a reputation for hopping in his artist videos to dance and get his face out there. And at the 95 Source Awards, Suge took the stage and said,
"Any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star and don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all on the record, dancing, come to Death Row."
After Suge dissed Diddy in front of everyone, there was no going back. And 1 month later, the beef turned deadly when Suge and Diddy ran into each other at Jermaine Dupri's birthday party. It's not clear exactly what went down, but their crews got into a fight, and Suge's homie, Big Jake, ended up getting shot and killed outside the party. According to Keith Murray, Suge full-on windmill slapped Diddy at the party too.
"Diddy, don't oversell our show, Suge. Pow! Smack the dog shit out of Puffy."
All of this went down before everyone had a phone in their pocket, so there's no video to back it up. But that's definitely not the only story about Suge putting his hands on someone in the industry. Everyone knows that the East vs. West Coast rivalry eventually led to Pac and Biggie both being tragically killed. And rumors say Suge was the one who had Biggie taken out. A detective named Greg Kading says that Suge hired a Mob Paru affiliate named Poochie to kill Biggie. But by the time he linked Poochie to the shooting, Poochie had already been shot and killed. Suge will probably never be charged in connection with Biggie's death. But if he didn't go to war against Diddy and the whole East Coast, then Big and Pac would probably still be alive today. When Suge linked up with Dr. Dre to start Death Row Records, nobody expected them to take over the game like they did. Dre dropped the Chronic and changed the entire West Coast. Then they brought in Snoop Dogg and took it even further. At the peak, they were making over $300 million a year, but the good times didn't last, and Dre had a falling out with Suge, even though they were running the whole game together. It wasn't a big fight or anything, but Dre didn't like where the label was headed. Dre likes to lock down in the studio and work on tracks for weeks or even months, but Death Row was like a constant party, so Dre left to start his Aftermath label, and that's when Suge and Pac went after him. Suge and Pac started to spread all kinds of rumors about Dre in the industry. Then Pac took it up a notch when he aired Dre out.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
On the track Tossed It Up and said, "No longer Dre Day, Eddie Vedderci, Blown and Forgotten, Rotten for Plotting Child's Play, Check Your Sexuality, As Fruity as His Alizé, Quick to Jump Ship, Punk Trick, What a Dumb Move, Cross Death Row, Now Who You Gonna Run To?" Dre never responded because the track came out after Pac died, but that wasn't the end of his beef with Suge. In 2016, Suge claimed that Dre tried to have him killed and owed him $900 million from his deal with Apple. Before he was booked for killing his homie, Terry Carter, Suge survived getting shot 6 times at a party hosted by Chris Brown. According to rumors, Dre put out a hit on Suge so he wouldn't have to pay him. But there's no evidence to back the story up, and nobody was ever arrested for the shooting. Suge barely survived getting hit up, and that's not the only time his beef with Dre allegedly almost got him killed. When Dre signed Eminem, it changed the entire rap game. A lot of people didn't give M any respect because he was a white dude from Detroit trying to make it as a rapper, but Dre saw the potential and helped start one of the biggest careers in the industry. Suge saw all the success they were having and wasn't happy about it. And according to M's bodyguard, Big Nas, he tried to take him out 2 different times. The first time it happened at the Source Awards. Nas said,
"The bodyguards could not sit with their artists."
And that's when Eminem got surrounded by a bunch of dudes from Death Row. Nas got M out of the situation, but Suge wasn't finished yet. M, Snoop Dogg, and Dre all planned on going to Hawaii for a vacation, but instead of chilling on the beach, they almost got taken out by 50 of Suge's goons. Suge had a whole crew waiting for him to land, and when they touched down, the Honolulu police sent 20 cops just to keep him safe. Nas said,
"It goes from, ah, we're in Hawaii, we're gonna have a nice time, we're gonna go shopping, coconut drinks, and all this other shit, to, oh shit, they're putting on bulletproof vests, loading guns."
Luckily, nothing serious went down. But Eminem isn't the only Aftermath artist that Suge pressed. After 50 Cent signed with Dre and started blowing up, Suge rolled up with 30 dudes while they were shooting the video for In the Club. According to Bizarre from D12, everyone was freaking out when Suge came through.
"We was at the In the Club video shoot, Game, 50, everybody was there. I just heard somebody say, 'Suge Knight's here.' And I looked, and Suge was there, and he had some essays with him though. You know what I'm saying? He all essays. And he looked at Fifth, and Fifth was like, 'What's up? What's up?'"
Eminem also allegedly came out rocking a bulletproof vest and was ready to throw down too. But Suge just signaled to his goons that it was time to leave, and they all left without saying a word. Pulling up on 50 Cent when he was the hottest rapper in the game proves that Suge wasn't afraid to be for anyone. But that's nothing compared to what went down between him and this next rapper. Dre and Suge wanted to link up and create Death Row together back in the 90s, but there was one dude standing in their way, Eazy-E. After NWA started falling apart because Dre thought Eazy and their manager, Jerry Heller, were messing with the money, Dre wanted out of his contract. Eazy didn't want to just let him walk away, and that's when Dre brought Suge in to help him with the situation. According to rumors, Suge and his goons rolled up on Eazy at a record studio and told him to release Dre from the contract. Eazy wasn't begging down at first, but then Suge told him he already kidnapped Heller and was holding him hostage. The Straight Outta Compton movie showed Suge putting hands on Eazy, but there are a lot of different stories about what really went down. One version says that Eazy wouldn't sign the release even after Suge said he kidnapped Heller, but he changed his mind after Suge showed him a slip of paper with Eazy's mother's address on it. It's not clear how it happened, but Eazy eventually signed Dre's contract release, and the rest is history. Heller said,
"And Eazy said, 'You know this guy Suge Knight?' I said, 'Yeah.' He says, 'Well, I'm going to kill him.' He said, 'This guy's going to be a problem, and I think I should kill him. I said that.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Just doesn't make any sense to me. I should have let him kill him.
Yeah.
You know, I would have done the world a favor. He would have done it for sure.
Dre allegedly sent one of the scariest dudes in the game to threaten his old homie, and the situation led to them sending shots back and forth. On the track, F*** with Dre Day, Dre aired him out and said, "The hoods you threw up with, f*** you grew up with, don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I want to slap the taste out your mouth, make you bow down to the road." Easy clap back with real motherfucking G's and call Dre and Suge out with the line, "But to me, you ain't nothing but a that ain't worth a food stamp. And at death row, I hear you getting treated like boot camp. Gotta follow your sergeant's directions or get your ass pumped with the Smith & Wesson." Unfortunately, Easy died from HIV/AIDS not long after. And there's a wild rumor that Suge was actually involved with his death too. In 2003, Suge went on Jimmy Kimmel Live and said,
"See, technology is so high, right?
Right.
So if you shoot somebody, you go to jail forever. So the kids, you don't want to go to jail forever, right?
Right.
So they got this new thing out that people sell them all the time. They got this stuff they call, they get blood from somebody with AIDS.
Yeah.
And then they shoot you with it.
Oh,
so
well, that seems bad.
That's a slow death.
Yeah.
Easy thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was a shocking interview. It still has people talking about it today. But there's no evidence that Suge was really behind Easy's death. But even if we don't know exactly what happened between them, we do know that this next story proves how crazy Suge really was. When Vanilla Ice dropped Ice Ice Baby, it was like a bomb exploded in the industry. It all started with one radio station in Georgia putting the track on, and in no time, it was allegedly selling 1 million copies every single day. At the time, Suge was just getting into the music industry. He started out as a bodyguard for other artists, but then he realized that becoming a producer was where all the money was at. One night, Suge pulled up on Ice while he was in LA with his bodyguards. Ice said Suge came in, tossed his security out, then sat down across from him at the table. Suge just stared at him for a long time. Then he finally introduced himself and said, "How you doing?" After that, Suge would randomly pop up wherever Ice was at, and Ice was starting to get scared. Then one night, when he went back to his room on the 15th floor of the Bel Age Hotel, Ice walked in and saw Suge and his goons waiting for him. They put hands on Ice's team. Then, Suge walks him out to the balcony and made him look over the edge. Rumors say Suge held Ice by the ankles and dangled him over the balcony, but Ice said that it never happened. Instead, Suge just made him sign a huge stack of paperwork that transferred all the royalties from Ice Ice Baby over to Suge. Suge was managing an artist named Mario Johnson at the time, and Suge says Johnson is the one who wrote the track and that Ice never paid him for it. Nobody really knows what really happened in Ice's hotel room that night, but he ended up signing over $4 million in royalties to Suge. Suge used that money to start Death Row Records, which means Vanilla Ice is actually responsible for one of the most famous rap labels of all time. Before Snoop signed with Death Row and helped Dre make The Chronic, he was in a crew with Nate Dogg and Dre's brother, Warren G, called 213. They were selling mixtapes out of their car, and eventually, Warren G introduced Snoop to Dre. Dre and Suge wanted to sign Snoop from the jump, but Warren G warned him to hire a lawyer before he signed the contract. When Suge heard about what happened, he rode up on Warren G and pushed him against the wall. Suge asked him, "You told him not to sign that contract, blood? Having Suge in your face will make most people run for their lives." But Warren G held it down and told him, "If you don't get your hands off me, I'm calling my brother. I'm calling all my homeboys." Luckily, Warren didn't catch a beating or anything worse. But Suge still blackballed him and wouldn't let him come on tour or be featured on any Death Row projects. Snoop signed with Suge, but he stayed solid with Warren through the whole situation and even ghost wrote for him when he signed to Def Jam. It didn't take...
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
Long for Snoop to start beefing with Suge too. And after Snoop beat his murder charge, he realized he wanted to leave all the violence behind him and stop promoting the streets. But at the same time, Suge had just linked up with Pac, and they were going to war against everyone who wasn't rocking with them, especially Diddy and other dudes from the East Coast. Pac and Snoop got close really fast, but everything changed after Snoop went on Hot 97 and showed love to Diddy and Biggie. Snoop was trying to spread positivity and not get involved with the drama, but the move almost cost him his life. After the radio interview, Snoop went back to the hotel where Suge, Pac, and other Death Row dudes were staying. Everyone in the room just ignored him completely, and when they drove to the airport the next day, Suge wouldn't let Snoop ride with his security. Snoop knew that Suge was capable of anything, so when they got on a private plane back to LA, he grabbed a fork, knife, and a blanket, then headed to the back of the plane so nobody could catch him from behind. Snoop tried to talk to Pac when they landed, but Pac ignored him again, and they went their separate ways. And before they could figure the situation out and squash the beef, Pac was shot and killed in Vegas just a few days later. Pac's death turned the tension between Snoop and Suge into a full-on beef, and at one point, Suge allegedly even put a bag on his head. Snoop clapped back with the song Pimp Slap and said, "This is a like his wife. Suge Knight's a and that's on my life. And I'ma let the whole world see, cause you the industry and that's on me." What's really crazy about the situation between Snoop and Suge is that it never actually got violent. Suge definitely isn't known for squashing beef, but in 2005, he met with Snoop at a peace summit called Unify the West, and they've been cool ever since. Suge ended up having issues with all of his main artists from Death Row. Rumors say that he's actually the one behind Pac's murder too. After Suge bailed Pac out of jail, he ended his marriage to Keisha Morris and started dating Kidada Jones. Kidada is the daughter of Quincy Jones, who's a legend in the music world. Pac had actually dissed him in an interview with Source Magazine and said, "All he does is stick his d**k in white d**k and make f**ked up kids." After Pac ran into Kidada at the club, they started talking, and it wasn't long before they were officially a couple. Quincy wasn't rocking with him at first, but then Pac squashed their beef and allegedly wanted to sign with him. According to rumors, Pac wanted out of Death Row as fast as possible, and that's why he recorded so much music after he got out of jail. His plan was allegedly to fulfill his contract with Death Row, marry Kidada, and then sign with Quincy. But unfortunately, that's not how it went down. Before he could escape the craziness of Death Row, Pac went to Vegas with Suge and ended up getting shot to death in the middle of the strip. Even though Suge got grazed by a bullet too, rumors say he knew about Pac's plan and had him killed instead of letting him leave Death Row. Suge had already lost Dre and Snoop, and Pac leaving would have been the final nail in the coffin. Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def, isn't known for beefing at all, but even he called out Suge on stage back in 2005 over the Pac situation. While he was performing in LA, Yasiin grabbed the mic and said, "Who killed my man, Suge? We fear nothing." Then, after performing another track, he called Suge out again and said, "Who killed Big, Pac, Jam Master Jay? Just tell us who did it, Suge. Let's stop all this bullshit." We'll probably never know if Suge was really involved with Pac's death or not, but there's a reason why so many people close to Pac think his own homie has something to do with it. Suge took shots at all kinds of dudes during the war between the East and West Coast. According to a dude named Spotterlope, who was affiliated with Death Row back then, Suge went on Hot 97 and dissed Brooklyn rapper Fabulous. Spider claims, Suge said,
"The new role, we looking for artists, we looking for this type of artist, street cool thug not no Fabulous type." He made a statement to that effect.
Even though Suge was one of the most powerful dudes in the game at the time, Fab didn't back down and allegedly pulled up on him in LA. According to Spider,
Fabulous got at him like, "Man, what's up with that shit you were saying on the radio?"
Instead of turning it into a big issue, Suge said,
"Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts."
Who I thought Suge was, I was surprised to hear him say, "Oh, you know it ain't like that. We ain't talking about niggas like you." And that's when the big two-way pagers was out, the big great buff ones. I remember he like called Eastwood over and told Eastwood to get Fabulous number and exchange numbers.
Suge squashing it with an East Coast dude like that seems weird. But Fabulous stamped the story and said, "No cap, I ain't confront him. We did speak about it though, but in a man-to-man convo." Today, Wack 100 is known for managing artists and ranting on Clubhouse, but he's known Suge Knight for years. They were tight back in the day, but now they're sending shots back and forth, and Suge thinks Wack is the reason he's serving a 28-year sentence. Back in 2021, Wack went on DJ Academics Off the Record show and aired Suge out for being a failure. According to him,
"I paid for this man mama's funeral, bro. I sent a motherfucking wire. You understand what I'm saying? At a time that we wasn't even talking and getting along."
But for some reason, Suge thinks Wack is the reason he got hit with the 28 years. Wack admitted,
"Motherfuckers did this, motherfuckers did that, right? Gangster shit, right? Now let's be real. And I'ma speak on it because he been speaking. And I don't respect him no more."
Suge?
"At all. No. Right? Not zero. You know what I mean? You can't respect a man. I paid for this man mama's funeral, bro."
Suge clapped back on $1 million worth of Game podcast and said he's gonna pull up on Wack whenever he gets out of prison. Then last year, Suge Knight's old homie, Reggie Wright Jr., started leaking his jail calls. In one call, Suge allegedly aired Wack out and said,
"He's from the hub, but he ain't from the hub. So he uses, but he don't f*** with nobody, you know?"
Now the situation is getting even messier because the Game is hopping into the beef. Game and Suge have gone back and forth a lot over the years. And on the track My B***, Game said, "Last but not least, my gangster B***. From Compton, always in and out of jail and shit. B*** tried to burn Snoop, stole chronic from Doc, blew the whole West Coast, even tried to f*** Pac." Suge allegedly rolled up on him with a bunch of goons after the track dropped. But then, Suge's homie Wack started managing him. Suge and the Game eventually squashed it though. And Game even shouted Suge out on the track Stainless with the line, "I went from wanting to be Suge to hating Suge to f***ing with him. 28 years, a long ass time, is f***ing with him. Talked to him on the phone the other day about how he could have signed me before Dre." But just a few weeks ago, Wack called Suge out again on IG and called him an accomplished failure. And in the caption, he even implied that Suge's son isn't really his. Then, out of nowhere, the Game hopped in and said, "I'll take the head of Faye with both you niggas on site." Nobody knows why Game has issues with Wack and Suge yet, but this situation could get wild. So tap in for updates.